Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. The following is a presentation of the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Between the hedges and across the state, this is where the dogs play.
We're ready to go.
Go ahead and put it all on
the
line.
The kick is blocked. It's no good.
He's got a man. Touchdown!
Just a clinic there by the Georgia Bulldogs.
We're just getting started.
Swift by the defense. 30. They won't catch him. Into the end zone. Touchdown!
From the Bulldogs Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College and JMI Sports, Bulldogs Live is on the air. Hear from head coach Kirby Smart and get in-depth analysis from Hondo and the Bulldog All-Stars. All that and more is right here on Bulldogs Live. Now, alongside head coach Kirby Smart, here's the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Bulldogs Live. We are with you each Thursday night from 7 until 9 o'clock throughout the football season. Coming up in this first hour of the show, it's Coach Kirby Smart and questions from you via social media. And in the second hour, it's the Bulldogs All-Stars. They'll take your phone calls, and that's your chance to talk Bulldogs football with former Georgia players until 9 o'clock tonight. If you have a question for Coach Smart, you can submit it throughout the week on multiple social media platforms by using the hashtag AskCoachSmart. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can here tonight. The third-ranked Bulldogs are now 5-0 this season. They return home to host South Carolina this weekend. Georgia whipped Tennessee in Knoxville last Saturday 43-14 and is now 2-0 in SEC play. So the Dogs and the Gamecocks will take the field at noon Saturday. The official kick time, Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, will be 12:02 p.m. Georgia will be trying for its fifth straight win in the series with South Carolina. And our coverage of Georgia's football Saturday from the Tate Center Bookstore Plaza will begin at 8 a.m. with a Dog Talk pregame show, followed by the Napa Tailgate Show at 9 a.m. Our producers and engineers tonight are Adam Gillespie in Athens, Zach Jewell, and Cabell Philpott from the Learfield IMG College Network Studios. Special thanks to our friends from Piedmont Healthcare, the official healthcare provider of the Georgia Bulldogs, for being here tonight as our guest audience. And we thank you for being out there listening tonight as well. Bulldogs Live will return with Coach Kirby Smart right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Welcome back to Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart and our friends from Piedmont Healthcare with us tonight as our guest audience. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. And before we get started, we also want to say hello and recognize our friend Brandon Boykin, who is here tonight, the Paul Horning Award winner in his days at Georgia, Outback Bowl MVP, kickoff man extraordinaire.
Told him we had some rocket sweeps for him still.
Not too many have done it better than Brandon Boykin. Brandon, it's great to see you. Glad to have you here tonight. Coach, good to see you as well. How are you?
Doing great. Great to be here and excited to do another show.
And back at home, that's always nice. A week of preparation to get ready for another home game.
Absolutely. Got that 12 o'clock kick, so we get 8 o'clock steak and eggs, man. Pre-game meal at 8 a.m. That comes bright and early.
You talked earlier this week about wanting the fans to be there with the team when we get there, and early show up, early arrival, all of that. You want to address that again tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody wants us to start fast, so I want you guys to start fast. And we're in this thing together. We look at our fans as part of our team and the outstanding job they did against Notre Dame. I don't think it could be even rivaled anywhere across the country, so we expect that every time. Why should it be different depending on who we play? We've got a very, very well-coached South Carolina team, a good football team coming in here, and our team respects them. So I'm going to find out if our fans respect them if they're in the stands at noon, because that's what we expect, that thing to be full and packed and make it tough on a freshman quarterback from the start.
Had another good turnout of Georgia representation on the road last week. A lot of Georgia fans at Neyland Stadium, and then they saw a good performance by your team. Kind of give us put a bow on that game for us in the win over Tennessee. A nice methodical beatdown, if you will.
Well, I think anytime you think about playing on the road in the SEC is a lot of our kids. We got a lot of kids playing for the first time on the road. Even our second-year guys had never been to Knoxville. And it's really a tough place to play when you talk about crowd noise. And they did a good job and got some momentum early. And you've got to be able to respond to that. We talk all the time about being able to play on the road. It's only you. And it's you and your 70 guys that travel with you. You got to answer the bell. And they took some blows and then gave some blows back. And we look at it as a four-quarter game, and you're going to get everybody's best shot. And, you know, the expectation is, you know, if you're a top-ranked team in the country, you're going to come out and just blow people out. That doesn't happen every week. It definitely doesn't happen in our conference because you got really good teams and you got people that compete against you. So you got to do a great job of staying consistent throughout the game and dominating for four quarters.
You got some early adversity in that first half and didn't really flinch. The way you finished the first half was terrific. Two touchdowns in the last couple of minutes, and especially that one-minute drive to cap the scoring in the first half.
Yeah, the offense did a fabulous job managing the clock, doing some good things. Defensively, we were able to at least hold them to a field goal there, and they missed the field goal. And holding them to the attempt allowed us to get some more time. We were on the headphones trying to figure out a way we could get another possession. So we were getting ready to burn our timeouts if they didn't, and we were very fortunate for them to have an incomplete pass, stop the clock, miss the field goal. Our offense goes out, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, you score.
On that touchdown pass to Pickens right before the half, that was a 70-yard drive, I think, with about a minute left, maybe a little bit less. Kind of take us through that. What goes into having success in that short amount of time going that distance and getting points on the board?
Execution. I mean, if you can go fast, number one, it's hard to rush the passer repeatedly. So you wear people down, and they're not rushing as well. It's a lot easier to protect the passer repeatedly than to rush the passer. Rushing the passer takes extra effort, which is why you see defensive linemen rotating. You can play 10 defensive linemen in a game. A lot of times you only play 5 offensive linemen. So I always relate it to tag team wrestling. You know, that guy's over on the sideline. He's trying to get in. He wants to tag in. He wants to go. Our D linemen are dying to get in, where the O linemen are the guy that's stuck in the ring. He's got a battle the whole time. And they do a good job of wearing people out, not just through the run game, but, you know, when they're pass pro and they protect. Jake does a good job. Coley called some good plays. And we executed at a high level when we get to going fast, and that helps us.
Do you have multiple plays lined up and ready to go at once, or is Jake up there surveying what he's looking at and then working with your offensive coordinator?
You got a menu. Most teams have a menu that you can pull from. You can't sit there and survey because you lose time. The clock's running. You want to be efficient. You want to be quick. He makes a good job making decisions, get the ball, manage your timeouts, get first downs. We do that all the time. It's an offense, and we work on that every day as a team so that when you get those opportunities, you can take advantage of them.
Well, that was certainly one of those learning moments, I guess. You show the guys in practice why you do that drill, and you guys were very successful at it last week.
It was good.
Georgia and South Carolina coming up Saturday. It'll be a noon kickoff. The official kick time is 12:02. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. with the Dog Talk pregame show, tailgate show at 9 from the Tate Center Bookstore Plaza. Drop on by if you so desire to see our tailgate crew and may even put you on the radio. We'll step aside for just a moment, get to your questions for Coach Kirby Smart as we continue with Bulldogs Live right after this on the Bulldog Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. We continue from Athens, Georgia, and South Carolina coming up this weekend. And that'll be a noon start at Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. It's time for Academy Sports and Outdoors Ask the Coach segment. Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud partner of UGA Athletics. If you have a question for Coach Smart, you can submit it anytime using the hashtag AskCoachSmart right there on all the social media platforms. And we'll use as many of your questions as we can on the show. We'll even mix in some from our audience here tonight. Our friends from Piedmont Healthcare are here tonight as our guest audience. Thank you, folks, for being here again. And, Coach, our first question comes from Alan in Ridgeland, Georgia. He's got a question about the noon kickoff and how it affects the game day routine. How does it?
Well, it moves everything up. I think of last week and how our first event as a team, I think, was maybe 10:30 or 11. We did a team walk and to get the guys up and using their legs because the kick was at 7. So I mean, we'll have already eaten the pregame meal. We'll be out doing pregame warm-ups at that same time this week. So it almost flips the script completely. So 8 a.m. pregame meal. We typically do a chapel at 7:30 a.m., but sometimes we do the chapel the night before because the game's so early. So we have better attendance the night before, pregame meal at 8, get ready to go do a walkthrough and go to the dog walk, you know, right after that, and it's just boom, 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 boom. The good thing is, you know, you get the back half of your day to enjoy and to spend with family.
Dog walk is at 9:45 on Saturday. What is that experience like?
Dog walk's incredible. I mean, you step off the buses to some rabid dog fans, and you got people fighting for position, and you look about 100, 150 yards back towards the bridge, and it's just lined with people. And then you got the parking deck lined with people, the bridge lined with people, the stairs lined with people, the hill lined with people, the band, cheerleaders. I mean, it's a classic atmosphere.
What's the reaction of some of the players?
I'm in front. I don't look backwards.
They never tell you what that was like?
No.
They never share their thoughts or any of that?
No, I don't pay attention to how they react to it. I think they appreciate it, and we all do, and know the sacrifices that so many fans make to get there early, to be there, to fight to get to see their favorite player and to wish them well in the upcoming game.
Well, again, that's 9:45 for the dog walk on Saturday, just outside the I think it's gate number 10 down there under the bridge. Let's see, Mary in Athens, Georgia, finally a little fall weather, she says. Has that made it a little juicier at practice?
Yeah, Mary must know her stuff because it's been she's been dead on. I mean, Monday was like a breath of fresh air. It was almost like new energy because they could go longer, harder, and faster, and you almost have to, you know, temper that a little bit because it wasn't as hot, and it was neat seeing them go, you know, that fast. I was like, man, they got a lot of juice and energy. And then Tuesday was that way. Then Wednesday was that way. So, you know, we tried to, you know, cut back as far as the amount of contact and hitting you're doing because they're going a little faster, a little longer, and you want them to be fresh for the game.
You really like to see that on Tuesday. Is that still the hard day of the week?
Oh, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday are very similar.
Next question is from John in North Augusta, South Carolina. Do you like playing South Carolina at home so you don't have to hear the rooster on their PA system?
Yeah. Hey, I started to play that at practice the other day and play that for them, but it was so dang annoying I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, maybe you could just get some roosters and put them on the football field. That might
we don't have enough room for them.
A little different
tight
edge
space
there.
Out there.
John, thanks for your question. Walt in Athens, have you texted or talked with Coach Muschamp this week?
No, I have not. If I had, I wouldn't tell you.
When do you usually get the time to talk to your friends in the coaching business? You probably don't talk, like you say, you don't talk to them during the week, especially during the week when you're playing each other. Maybe, you know, if you guys have played each another team, maybe something like that falls into place. But
sure.
What's the normal time of year when you guys are able to communicate?
I mean, to be honest, it sounds bad, but I mean, when you need something, you reach out. You know, you communicate when you need something, information. What are y'all doing on this? How are y'all using your off week? What are you doing your second off week? How are y'all practicing on Mondays? How are y'all practicing on Thursdays? I mean, you communicate that way, but I mean, outside of that, it's off season, you know, when you do studies and you go meet with people and you try to develop and get better at what you do.
What are your thoughts on a lot of people find it interesting to learn what a coach relationship is with another coach? I mean, do you get that? How do you feel about that when people always ask you questions about that? Hey, is that guy your friend? You know, you talk to him all the time, you text message and all that kind of stuff. And it's not really like that in every case.
Well, I mean, there's not much conversation among coaches because they're busy. I mean, there's not – I mean, I don't text anybody a lot because I'm busy. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm either recruiting or I'm with my family.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
Or I'm coaching. You know, I'm not reaching out to other coaches because I have things to do. I have a mutual respect. And the people that I've worked with, I think we have a mutual respect, whether we're playing each other or not, that we respect the job we do and we don't have time to – reach out, hey, how are you doing? There's not a lot of conversation going on. You're spending all your time working with your players, and you respect the job that each one does, and there's no hard feelings or love lost either way. It's the outcome of games because it's not about that. It's about doing the best job you can, and I know that he's trying to provide for his team and his family just like I'm doing the same here.
people are always curious about what's in baseball, what's said on the mound when a manager takes the visit to the mound to talk to the pitcher. What's said in that pregame conversation with the two head coaches when you meet out on the field before the game?
Usually a lot of poor mouthing, how hurt you are and beat up you are and how good the other team is, whether they are or not, and that kind of thing.
Is that usually pretty successful? I mean, does that work for you?
I don't listen to it because I don't play all those head games. I just shake the hand and, ask them how their family's doing. And if I know them in a personal way, then share that. If not, then, wish them well and stay healthy and good luck.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much. And we appreciate your questions for Coach Smart. If you have one any time during the week, you can submit it using the hashtag AskCoachSmart on social media, and we'll use as many of your questions as we can here during the show. And we'll continue with the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ask the Coach when we come back after this on the Bulldog Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Back with Coach Kirby Smart and your questions for the coach. And right now it's time for our Bulldogs Player of the Week. It's presented by Primerica. Primerica, the only company positioned to make the maximum impact on Main Street families. And our Bulldogs Player of the Week is junior quarterback Jake Fromm from Warner Robins, Georgia. He guided the Dogs' offense to 526 total yards while completing 24 of 29 passes for 288 yards through the air. Fromm also had two touchdown passes in Georgia's 43-14 win over Tennessee. Quarterback Jake Fromm is the Bulldogs Player of the Week presented by Primerica. All right, back for more questions for Coach Kirby Smart, and we're going to go to our audience now. Our friends from Piedmont Healthcare are here tonight, and this is Judson. Judson, welcome to the show. Where are you? Where's Judson?
Judson's right there.
Oh, there he is. I see him. Okay, what's your question for Coach Smart?
How long have you been coaching?
Oh, Justin, that's a great question. I always tell people like 30 years, but since I'm only 43, that's not true, so I haven't been coaching that long. But I've been coaching ever since the year 2000 is how I mark it. 99 was an interesting year because I played for about 3 months, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and then they told me to get lost. And then I came back here and coached with Coach Donnan. So 99 and 2000 plus 19 years. So I like to say 21 years is how long I've been coaching.
Judson, thanks for your question. Thank you for being here tonight. Another question for the coach via social media. This is from Christopher in Valdosta, Georgia. What does the young South Carolina quarterback Hilinski show on tape?
Moxie. He's got a rifle arm. He got a quick release. You don't see many balls batted. You don't see indecision. He doesn't hold the ball. He knows where to go with the ball. He gets it there quickly. He's got the ability to make every throw on the field. And I've seen a lot of freshman quarterbacks, and this guy has some it factor. So he's going to be good for a long time for them, and he's very effective in their offense. So it should be an exciting game Saturday. I mean, I fully expect this guy can complete passes. They got great wideouts. B-Mac and their staff do a tremendous job offensively, and I know people don't want to hear it and don't believe it. They got a very good football team.
How are they different with Hilinski now after Bentley got hurt? Would they be a different type of team with Jake Bentley at quarterback?
Jake has a little more athleticism to run the ball. They asked Jake to run the ball a little more. I'm not saying Hilinski can't. He can. I think with Jake being injured, they've got to be a little more careful because it's like, okay, now we're down one quarterback. Now they got two guys that can play it pretty well. They got to be careful about not losing him. But at the same time, Hilinski does a tremendous job. He's got great arm talent. He makes a lot of throws. He's been able to open their offense up and use a lot of their weapons because of the throws he can make.
How does he compare in his freshman year to what Jake did in his freshman year? Jake Fromm?
I think they're very similar. I think they've asked him to probably do a little more because, we had the ability with the two backs we had to protect Jake a little bit and let them carry the load. And you look at what this kid's done. It's not that their backs aren't good enough. They got good backs, but they don't ask their backs to carry the load. They ask Hilinski to make some plays with his arm, and they've got some really special wideouts. This wideout they got now, Brian Edwards, will be as good a wideout as we play all year.
That may lead to the answer for our next question. Vance from Leesburg, Georgia. Who would you say is Carolina's most explosive offensive weapon?
Yeah, well, if you take the quarterback out of it, you look at their slot, Shai Smith has made some incredible catches. And then Brian Edwards, they move him all over the field. They give him rocket sweeps. He plays outside. He plays inside. He's in the backfield. He's 215 pounds. I mean, he is a great wideout. A lot of scouts I've talked to have talked about how he's made himself a lot of money this year by coming back and the way he's played.
What's a traditional way to cover a guy that is moved all over the field like that offensively? How do you defend that?
Well, you try to match your best guy up on him. You can do that, and we do that sometimes. You call certain coverages to tilt to him, and we do that sometimes. I mean, you have a lot of different ways to defend him. You affect the quarterback is the number one way to offend him. But if you're a good offensive coordinator, you find ways that you can't you can't get multiple people on him, and they get him touches. So if he's in the backfield, it's not like you can go over and press him. So they find ways to get him the ball.
Earlier this season, and I can't remember the game, but I asked you how do you affect whichever quarterback it was that we were playing at the time, and you said you pitch to him. You show him different things each time. Does that apply to this game?
It's harder. You pitch to the quarterback. You don't really pitch to a receiver because you don't know where he's going to be. And wherever he lines up, you try to affect him with coverage. You try to let your players be aware of what he's doing. But you definitely have to affect the quarterback.
And you show them a little something different each time for that guy throwing the football.
You hope to.
All right, Coach Kirby Smart is here on Bulldogs Live, and your questions for the coach will continue in just a moment. We'll step aside for these words. Bulldogs Live with Coach Smart after this on the Bulldog Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. Basketball season is here, believe it or not. Join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Stegman Coliseum for Stegmania, presented by Bojangles. Admission is free, and the first 2,000 UGA students and fans receive a Stegmania T-shirt. Highlighting the event will be a slam dunk contest for the men, a three-point competition for the women, special appearances by Blanco Brown and world champion wrestler and TV personality and Bulldog Letterman. Bill Goldberg, Coach Tom Crean, and Coach Joni Taylor can't wait to see you at Stegman Coliseum tomorrow night for Stegmania. Again, it's 7 o'clock. If you need more information, you can go to georgiadogs.com. All right, more questions for Coach Kirby Smart via the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ask the Coach. Academy Sports and Outdoors is a proud partner of UGA Athletics. And Lisa in Atlanta, Coach, wants to know if Georgia recruits the state of South Carolina pretty hard.
We recruit everywhere hard. I mean, we want to find the best student athletes that represent the University of Georgia the right way. And there's a lot of good football players in South Carolina. When you look at per capita and the amount of people in the state of South Carolina, they put out a lot of good football players. They've got really good football programs. And, yes, we recruit it very hard.
They've got a lot of Georgia guys. We've got some South Carolina guys, and it's kind of always been that way, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it's been that way, and I think it always will.
Bob in Noonan, Georgia, in your opinion, is Ugga the best mascot in the nation?
Absolutely. I mean, why even ask that, right?
Yeah,
like, what other option is there? Of course.
All right, Bob, there you go. A definitive yes to your question about Ugga being the best mascot. Let's grab a question from our audience here. Our friends from Piedmont Healthcare are here as our guest audience. Cameron, there's Cameron right there. Hi, Cameron, welcome to the show. What's your question for the coach?
My question is that we're at 15 sacks through five games this year against 24 last year, and I'm wondering what you attribute that success to, whether it be new personnel or the front seven coming together as a whole this season, and do you see that production increasing going forward this season?
I hope it increases. That was one of our main offseason goals, to increase our ability to pressure the quarterback and to finish on him. I mean, we talk about havoc, and havoc is not sacks. Havoc is everything, and sacks are included in that. But we wanted to increase that number, and I think, number one, Coach Lanning and the defensive staff have done a tremendous job to improve in that area. They try to find ways week to week to give people fits to protect. You know, there's for a long time there was a belief at the big schools in the SEC that you just stop the run and then, you know, you make people one-dimensional, and then you know eventually you get some sacks when you get a lead. Well, it's starting to be where you have to start the game trying to get sacks because people are one-dimensional. They just want to throw the ball, and football is slowly becoming that. You look across the NFL, nobody wants to run the ball. And we pride ourselves on doing that offensively, but defensively you build yourself to stop the run, and you find yourself always trying to create pass rush. And we feel like this year we have done a better job to create rush on non-third downs. It's easy to do it on third down, but you got to do it more than that. And we've been able to get some more rush. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Notre Dame game struggling to get him on the ground, he's a great athlete. We couldn't get him on the ground. We probably lost some ground there on some people because we felt like if that was any other quarterback, we probably had 3 or 4 sacks in that game. We just couldn't get him. And he's a good athlete. But we want to continue to increase those numbers and do the best job we can. But that's not the be-all and end-all stat. We can't forget about big plays and not giving up big plays to get those.
Cameron, thanks for your question. We appreciate you being here tonight. Azeez Ojulari is a guy that's really helped you in that area. He's leading your team in pressures, and I think now he's leading the team in sacks. But how has his development helped your defense?
Oh, it's helped tremendously. He gets a lot of opportunities, and he is a very technical pass rusher. I mean, when he beats people, he's not just – running by him with speed. He's not just overpowering him. He's a combination of speed, power, athleticism, coaching. Dan has done a great job of helping him and growing him as a player. And you know, we were very comfortable with Azeez, Nolan, Jermaine, Adam, Robert Beal. All those guys continue to grow and get better. And the fact that we've created some one-on-ones inside, it's allowed guys like Tyler Clark and some of those inside guys to have more pressure.
Richard in Bogart, Georgia, sent in this question via social media. Did you ever coach against Lattimore or Clowney at South Carolina?
Oh, yeah. I was. We had a game with we had a 2-game back-to-back series with South Carolina when I was at Bama. And of course, they upset us and beat us in one of the games in Columbia, and they came over to Tuscaloosa and lost. But I know I think Lattimore and Clowney were both on those teams.
I'm not sure if he just wanted to know that or if he wanted to go a little bit deeper with that question, but those two guys were very talented players,
yeah.
Certainly. Clowney's still in the NFL, and, of course, Lattimore was unable to do that just due to injury, but is still contributing to South Carolina in many ways.
Yeah, both very talented.
Trey in Louisville, Georgia, is Georgia's secondary gaining more confidence as a unit?
I think so. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Our secondary has not lacked confidence ever. I mean, most defensive backs, if you ask them, they'll tell you they don't lack confidence. Whether they should or shouldn't, they don't lack confidence. But they play hard. Coach Warren's done a good job with those guys, developing the younger ones, getting them better, and growing them. And we continue to get better as a unit. We got to play with discipline. We got to communicate better. And when communication breaks down, sometimes you have big plays, and you can't have that. Not in the secondary. It's too big a mistake when you make a mistake.
It was good to get Eric Stokes back in your secondary. Certainly last week he made a huge play that resulted in points for your defense last week.
Sure did. Made a big play and had a sack fumble and came at a very good time for us.
That was a decleater. I bet that was fun to watch in the film room after that, wasn't it?
It was a good lick.
This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. We'll continue with your questions for the coach right after we pause for these words here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. Don't forget, if you missed any of Coach Smart's comments on tonight's show, not to worry. You can hear them on the brand new Georgia Bulldogs podcast. That's PAWDCAST podcast. Be sure to subscribe now. You'll find exclusive on-demand audio content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, including Coach Smart's weekly press conference, Sunday morning's Bulldog Brunch, a throwback game broadcast, and the show you're listening to right now, Bulldogs Live. So subscribe and download the Georgia Bulldogs podcast today. Back to questions for Coach Kirby Smart here as the Dogs lead up to South Carolina this week. Paul in Athens wants to know, Coach, how have the players stepped up when veterans like Jordan Davis or Solomon Kinley have had to come out?
Well, last week, Julian Rochester stepped up and answered the bell. He did a tremendous job, and Schaefer did the same for Solomon. But we talk all the time about doing the duty that lies nearest, and when you get a guy that gets injured, you have to answer the bell, and you got to do the duty that lies nearest, which is help your team. And that's a motto that we use all the time, and our guys answered that bell and did a nice job stepping up. And so many others have done the same, but those are the more recent guys. It's funny to hear you talk about Jordan Davis being a veteran because he's, you
know, he's second-year player
guy that didn't play all of last year. So,
question from our audience. Our friends from Piedmont Healthcare are here. This is Seth Seth, welcome to the show. What's your question for Coach Smart?
So with our incredibly talented and crowded backfield, I know it's difficult to get everybody touches. But with a guy like James Cook, who kind of bulked up this offseason, and a lot of people were thinking he was going to get a lot of looks in the slot, do you think that he's getting kind of the appropriate or right amount of touches that y'all want, or are y'all kind of scheming to get him the ball more?
Well, what is appropriate and the right amount that we want? Because I want everybody to get the ball. And my ultimate goal, to be honest with you, is to win the game and be efficient and effective. If we were really struggling offensively, if we were down on numbers, not scoring points, not being productive, I think that we would be saying we got to get James the ball more often. If we're being productive, we got to ask ourselves, how can we improve? And if I had to say an area we can improve on, it'd be trying to find more ways to get him the ball. I don't think that the average fan or the average eye knows how involved he is on a lot of plays, because there's options that he's the option or another guy's the option. And a lot of them just haven't gone his way because defenses are dictating that I don't want him to have the ball. I want the other person to have the ball. In the world of football, every play has three plays on it. And the average fan watches and says, oh, DeAndre Swift got the ball. Well, that play, it could have been DeAndre, it could have been James, or it could have been Cager. And a lot of that's based on what the defense does. So we talk all the time about touches or him plays, meaning he's getting the ball. We have plays where this guy's getting the ball. It doesn't matter. Then we have plays that are really up to Jake to determine where the ball goes, and it's based on the look the defense gives you. And James has probably lost out on, you know, three or four touches a game where the look dictated that it just didn't hit right. Where we had some other games, I think the Vanderbilt game, I think you saw a lot of James, and you got to see more of him. So it's not by design in any way, shape, or form, and we want to try to get him more touches. But ultimately, there's only one ball, and there's only an X number of plays. So we got to make sure that we're being efficient with our touches.
Seth, thanks for your question tonight. Thanks for being here. And that goes to show why guys like Jake Fromm are in the video room so much, or studying film all the time. When you have that many options and you've got to know that much information on every play, you've got to do your homework.
Absolutely, you have to. And he's smart enough to do that. And Coley and them are smart enough to try to find plays where you get guys the ball in space.
Tyler in Duluth, Georgia, wants to know if the guys get a lift in during game week, or is it too hard on their bodies?
No, we firmly believe Coach Sinclair and the strength staff have done studies. I mean, it's proven scientific fact that you don't want to maintain, you want to gain. And as the season goes on, if you don't lift, your body will deteriorate, therefore making you more susceptible to injuries. I mean, we squat, we lift, we bench. They get two lifts in a week, and we certainly think it's very important.
Is that similar to the days when you played? Did you go through similar thing? Maybe the science wasn't as intense back then. But
it's funny you ask that, because I have no idea what we did on a game week. I would think we lifted, but I certainly don't remember it.
What was your best bench press?
I don't think I was a lot more power clean and squat guy than I was bench press. I think I got around 315 was the most I ever got.
How about those 225 reps that they do at Pro Day?
Oh, man, that's brutal. I mean, I remember going to the NFL and getting 13 and thought it was just amazing that I got 13. And these guys now are pumping up 17, 20, you know, for the defensive backs and stuff. It's pretty incredible what they're able to do.
Well, you didn't weigh 225, did you?
No.
No, that's pretty impressive. You
I
got do, 13.
I almost do now.
All right, and on that note, we'll give you a chance to go and get something out of the fridge. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back for more with Coach Kirby Smart on Bulldogs Live after this on the Bulldog Sports Network. This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. Coming up in just a little bit, it's the Bulldogs All-Stars and your chance to talk Bulldogs football for another hour tonight. So stick around for that, your chance to talk to former Georgia Bulldog players Jeff Lewis and Josh Brock tonight. Neil Williamson is your host for the next hour, so stick around for the Bulldogs All-Stars coming up in just a few moments. Also, dog fans, don't forget to tune in Sunday night at midnight for the latest episode of Kirby Smart All Access on WSB TV Channel 2. This week, tight ends coach Todd Hartley will be mic'd up, and you'll be able to go behind the scenes to get to know grad transfers Lawrence Cager and Eli Wolf. That's Kirby Smart All Access. That's coming up this Sunday at 12 midnight on WSB TV Channel 2, or anytime on GeorgiaDogs.com. Bulldogs.com. All right, a couple more questions for the coach before we have to get out of here in the first hour. And this is from Thomas with our group from Piedmont Healthcare here. Thomas, welcome to the show tonight. What's your question for the coach?
Hey, Kirby. Obviously, you spent a lot of time here at Georgia, so I was wondering what your favorite memory at Georgia was as a player or as a coach.
Wow. Probably the favorite memory, I go to it all the time, but one of the classic games was my mom was from Florida. She grew up in near Tampa, and to beat Florida the year that we were, I think, 20-point underdogs, and went down there and upset them and beat them in Jacksonville was one of the higher notes as a player. That and winning one of the Peach Bowls is my last game. But then as a coach, I would probably say the two SEC championships. One when we beat LSU in, I guess, 2004 or whatever year it was, and then winning the SEC championship a couple years ago were pretty high notes. I know how hard it is to win SEC championships, so when you get an opportunity to do it, you got to take advantage of it.
Thomas, thanks for your question tonight. Appreciate it. This is from Hugh in Athens. Is there a name of a player that has taken a big step forward since the season started that maybe the fans wouldn't know about? Top secret.
Man, there's so many guys working so hard out there. They're just improved. I mean, a guy to me that sticks out on special teams is, and he's not, I mean, fans don't get to see it, but Kenny McIntosh is doing an incredible job working at practice, competing. He's figured out that if I do this really well, then I can make a name for myself and then earn more carries. He's done a great job growing in that role. I think Zamir's done that. He's taken on a bigger role. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, but we tell our players, you want to do the duty that lies nearest. And if you can do that and you can function and do those things, then it makes everything else easier and you're not thinking about things outside that. So we just say do the duty that lies nearest.
It's probably pretty pleasing for the new guys to see them attached to that. I mean, that's what you're coaching them to do, and they take it to heart.
The buy-in, the consistency, that's what's important.
William in Atlanta wants to know, what is the strongest part of DeAndre Swift's game?
Well, he's got the all-around game. He can play with power. He can play with speed. He's got great hands. He's got instincts. He's a one-cut runner. He is fast. I mean, he's got the total package when it comes to being a back. But the strongest part of the game is his ability to lead and affect others, because not everybody can do that. And players listen to him, and he's very emotional when he talks to those guys.
Kirby, thanks very much for your time tonight. We appreciate it. Good luck against South Carolina on Saturday.
Thank you. Go Dawgs.
All right, we'll see him on Saturday. Dog walk at 9:45. Don't forget that. Stay tuned for Hondo and the Bulldogs All-Stars. They're coming up next. Here as we continue with Bulldogs Live on the Bulldogs Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dawgs!